The following podcast has been produced by WIRX Radio for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast do not constitute medical, legal, or professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this company, our promotional sponsors, or advertisers.
Rock 107 WIRX. Welcome, everybody, to the WIRX podcast. Back at it. Show number 16, I believe.
Damn, son.
Wow, we have been talking weed and whatnot for quite some time. So with us is always our buddy, our spiritual guide, the man who knows it all and does it all. Rick, how you doing, brother?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. Good to see you. That is a rad jersey, my friend.
You like that? I gotta have to bring the throwback.
You got the throwback. The
Michael Jordan!
Love it, man.
$114.
Oh, good lord.
1997.
No, Rick,
in Chicago.
Real quick, Rick, how tall are you?
5'3".
5'3"-ish.
I like the ish.
Okay,
yeah. So give or take.
Now, when you put on the jersey, you can automatically dunk.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Oh, instantly. Yeah.
Absolutely. You got mad ups as soon as you put on a Michael jersey,
right,
man.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Take a mad ups, and I can drop a three-pointer from anywhere in the court.
Yeah. Just sink it. Right. Just sink it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get right to it now. We've discussed, you know, continuing this on, and we're going to see what happens. But we've had a fantastic 16 weeks, 16 podcasts, which, by the way, you can just explore on the website where you found this one, and we have all of our other podcasts on there as well. But as we, I don't want to say we're wrapping it up, but I think it might be a little transition period for us. But we got a lot of stuff to get in there before.
It's like the last episode of a season.
You
might have to wait a
little
bit.
Exactly. And it won't be like Game of Thrones where you got to wait a year and a half,
right?
All right?
So soak this one up, would you?
Let's talk about kind of what you got going on right now. I know there's a festival that is in the works and looks like it'll actually be happening. You want to just take off with that?
Yeah, we're still grinding in Eau Claire, and it's the beat on the street. It looks like we're going to be able to hold a first annual hemp festival.
Fantastic.
In Eau Claire. BC Hemp Co. now has in works our office facilities and our processing center in Eau Claire now.
Nice.
So with that entity being there, that just makes a lot of sense to go ahead and take the industry and embrace it in a fashion of a farm festival.
Now, this is it going to be in the same vein as the 420 Fest, or is it a little bit different?
It's definitely different in the sense that we're going to go ahead and avoid cannabis use or cannabis on the property. Definitely have cannabis information.
Yep.
I would definitely invite vendors or such that would be able to provide information
Perfect.
On the cannabis industry. But primarily, it's going to be on the farming aspect of the agriculture side
Perfect.
Of hemp, of vegetables, of all our other agricultural needs and wants. There's tons of people out there, you know, with small farms trying to make it.
Yep.
And they got products they want to put out there. So
we're looking at a hemp festival, but it also kind of encompasses agriculture as a whole here in Southwest Michigan, or Michigan as a whole. So we could have corn and we can have hemp.
Yeah, kind of a communal wellness.
Yeah.
Festival, you know, it's you can tag whatever name on it.
Yeah.
I guess we want, but that's what I'm really aiming for. Is one thing we miss in. Is we got the internet and everybody knows everybody and everybody, hey, you know, I get all the time people, hey man, I know you. I don't really know you.
I've seen you on Facebook.
We make lots of talk on that, but I don't know you. So
I saw your wife naked in your weed garden, right?
Yeah, I know you. I know that guy.
People know more of me than I think I know.
Right. But, you know, actually having that real meet people, greet people, talk to people, shake their hands, talk to them, have a business conversation, and you know,
I love it. Yeah, just face to face interaction,
and encompassing our kids too. So, like this festival, I'm really also focusing on having. We're gonna have disc golf to raise some money for Eau Claire. We're gonna have those big blow up things where you roll around and bounce into each other, whatever. Just
kid-oriented
things. I was thinking bounce house, but I don't know what the insurance things are on that. So I was thinking more of an inflatable slide or something.
I like it. Just whatever, you know, get
the kids out there having fun.
Maybe get a dunk tank.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I don't know if we can get a cop to do it, but if you guys want to come dunk me, in the middle of September.
Hell.
You dunk Mr. Fun Guy. Try and put out my doobie. I'm going to have a big one.
Hemp. Timeline for this. What are we thinking? Is it I know at early stage, I don't want to put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. Do we have an idea? Or?
Yeah, I'm aiming for, I think it would be nice to encompass the people that are here from Chicago.
Gotcha.
So I'd like to aim it for Labor Day, that Saturday.
Okay.
That's a big weekend. They're often here. We're at finalizing their summer, and that's a nice way to finalize it. And they you know, most often love farmers markets and fresh mm-hmm. things from the local area. So definitely want to invite them to
aim for that. Get the people that are that spend time and money here in Southwest Michigan, yeah. and I think that's great.
And of course, our local people that don't get a chance to get out to these other local farms and these farmers that may be there.
Yeah,
and they'll have that connection then. And oh well, hell, you're just on John Beers Road. Well, I'll just stop by sometime and get your fresh eggs.
Yeah, exactly. So. And I guess as more information comes along, people can find out on Facebook. We'll probably have all that information put out there and everything. So, sure. Well, good, man. Well, we're excited. Now, should we move on to our special guest here? You brought in another. That's the nice thing about the podcast is we've been fortunate to meet a lot of great people in the community and different things, different businesses, different charities, different causes. Let's introduce the guys here. Grab a mic, and then we'll get to know the fellas. Who's the big guy?
My name is Luke Villa. Luke. How you guys doing today?
Good, Luke. Thanks for coming in. And Luke and
Josh Etheridge.
Luke and Josh. All right, Luke and Josh. Let's get to it. What do you do? What are you here for?
Well, I've been in the food industry for over 20 years. It's something that I've always had a passion for. I love bringing plates to the table that give people a happy, comfortable vibe. Right?
Fantastic.
I can vouch for that, too. I used to work with Luke a little bit.
Oh, really?
I've known this guy for years, man. He's a great cat.
I swear to God, Hunter knows. Hunter's worked with everybody in some capacity at some point in time here in Michigan.
You know what's sweet about Luke being the cook where I worked at is that I always get food in the kitchen.
Wait. Don't let that information out.
Well, that was your last job.
Oh, Hunter, another chicken breast dropped on the floor. It's yours.
This is a little extra today.
So what now? How do we include the food and now the podcast?
Well, I've always loved food, and I've always especially loved weed. All right?
They kind of go hand in hand.
Now that the market's expanding, I finally have an opportunity to just exercise my gift as a cook, and mm-hmm. I can incorporate CBD into the community. We're touching unknown areas with our community with mm-hmm. this. There's a lot of public scrutiny. I've talked to a lot of larger businesses around the lake, and it all boils down to the same thing, public scrutiny. We're afraid of what our clientele will think.
Yep.
And
yep.
Personally, I think they're kind of veered in the wrong direction with that, because a lot of the biggest market is people of 40s, 50s, and above.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go to the bar and get drunk to ease their pain. They mm-hmm. can't go out and do drugs because their bodies can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're turning to cannabis and they're turning to hemp to mm-hmm. try to alleviate their pain in that structure, you know? The more we learn about the benefit of cannabis and hemp, the more widely accepted that it'll become in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of getting the information out there, properly teaching people, you know, the difference between hemp and cannabis.
Yep.
And the
education.
The education is the key to opening up the community to it. And whether people want to believe it or not, it's here. It's not leaving.
It's not going anywhere. Yeah, it's going up. That's it.
And I've talked to all these restaurants, and they've all kind of told me the same thing. We want in, just not now.
Yeah.
Hence me going on the news and trying to put it out there just to help. Because if they might not want to think about it, but if you put it in their face and they have to see it, their subconscious processes it, and then they start thinking about it.
Yep.
And then before you know it, once they see it, they're like, oh, hey, well, maybe we'll try it, you know?
Yeah.
Half the town's doing it, so we'll try it out.
Yeah, in secret right now.
So. Yeah, everybody's doing it in secret.
I think once everybody starts doing it and they see, you know, that people are enjoying it, they're spending the money on it,
mm-hmm.
and they're you know, it's just like an addition, it's just like an upgrade. And when you see it more and more places, I think that everybody will jump on board, and pretty soon it'll be available pretty much everywhere you go to eat.
So now when you're talking about going out to these restaurants, are you hitting up people saying, hey, how can we bring these items onto your menu? Is that kind of what you're leaning at?
Not necessarily. It's pretty simple. I mean, the process of it's not exactly simple, but it's simple to once you learn it and you learn how to properly dose it and handle the product, it's pretty easy to incorporate it into any item on your menu. Mm-hmm. You can have it in your cappuccinos. You can have it in fruit drinks, you know, stuff like that. It's just a matter of teaching them how to properly handle. Yeah, yeah. You can put it in anything as long as you know how to properly handle the product so you're not killing the properties of it with too much heat or whatnot. So it's just a matter of, again, trying to educate the restaurants and showing them how to properly utilize it. Once that product goes through a dishwasher and hits all those high temperatures and chemicals, there's no more fear of cross-contamination to the plates and, oh, I'm going to get high because that guy had a plate, you know?
And
again, it's teaching the restaurants how to properly handle the situation.
Okay. Is there any places so far that you can share that are getting
on
board?
Not that I can. I can tell you that I've had a few downtown St. Joe that are really interested in it. They just haven't given me permission to advertise on their behalf.
Perfect. Okay. But the talks are in the works.
I've hit up a lot of the businesses, some major businesses as well. It's also a thing where I think the chefs are kind of like, why do I need you to teach me? You know, so they want to figure out how to do it on their own and bring it to the plates. And I'm not opposed to that. I'm just trying to help people get it out there. The more that we can get it out there, no matter who brings it out, the more widely acceptable it's going to become and availability for everybody to jump in and actually make money off of this movement.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
So how is this going to work? So if I can order like a Mediterranean pasta, say, and then add CBD to it. This is going to be like a couple extra bucks, and you can do that? Or?
Yeah, it's just an easy markup, just like you would if you want to go into a place and have a superfood or a aloe shot added to your drink. You're just going to have that upcharge for plate.
It's like an extra side, but a better side.
I will take the pancakes, the Eggs Benedict, and a sweet bowl of Sticky Icky. the Purple Monster.
Right. Choose your sides wisely.
Choose your sides. Yeah. I would like to spark that up before I have my pancakes.
Someday.
I think that's really interesting. And obviously anybody who has been in the industry or has partaken up until this point has probably had some form of edible, has had some kind of hemp or CBD or marijuana-infused something or other. Ben gave me that one day, which he's like, don't eat.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. He's like, just take a little nibble, wait and see how it goes.
You see, there's the problem when it comes to the edible factor of the industry. People have improperly dosed things.
Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of involuntary doses. There's a lot of people laughing, people falling over, sitting on a couch, having panic attacks. And it's not cool.
It's not cool.
You're giving it a bad name. You're giving the product a bad name.
I've had people offer me edibles before, and I'm like, no, if you don't know the dosage, like if this was just made randomly, you don't know the dosage. No, there's no way I'm taking it because
out there dabbing hard people, like the big monster dabs. Yeah. It's just not cool.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not necessary.
Yeah. Let's talk about the science, in this, because obviously there is a science to it. And you mentioned temperatures can affect it. Is this more of your area, or who knows more?
We both cook with cannabis. I've been a caregiver for many years.
Okay, like Rick.
What year did you win the?
2 years ago, I took second place in the top cannabis chef competition at High Times.
Really?
Nice, dude.
No kidding.
Yeah, and you got something this year.
And then this year, I won third place in the Squash Off, which is a rosin press. I don't know if you're familiar with a rosin press.
No, you'd have to explain layman's terms for me.
Okay, basically, I entered a bud, and they judge it based on like smell, look, taste, all that stuff. And then they squash it between two steel plates with heat and pressure, and the resins come out. And then they do a dab of that resin. And then they judge that as well.
Oh, okay.
Like 22 entries, and I got third place. So
nice.
That's not
nice,
too bad.
Dude. Look at that.
That's decent.
I trust this guy with it.
That's from the mother of that future plant.
Oh,
that we
got going on. The strain we are working on. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it's award winning.
I love that. That's award winning. We'll never hear that on the Plan B Morning Show or WIRX. Finally, Hunter, we're getting recognized.
Did you get a big like weed medal or something?
I got a pendant. Yeah.
Nice. He's got it with him.
Yeah. Look at that.
That's what's
a stone
up.
Stone pendant.
Let's see that.
Look at that.
Stone.
Michael Phelps ain't got nothing on you, boy. I like that.
That is actually really cool.
Yeah, that's killer, man. That's awesome. Oh, yeah.
I've never won anything in my life.
No, you haven't. That's killer.
I didn't think I was going to win. I didn't think I had a chance, really.
So what's the biggest hurdle now when we talk about introducing this side of it? into the community. Everyone knows that they can, you know, take CBD gummies. Everyone knows that, you know, there's all sorts of medical applications. Everyone knows you can roll a joint and smoke it. But now when it comes to preparing it in a food setting or an edible setting, what's the biggest hurdle that you guys are maybe seeing right now? Or what's the maybe the next step that I know we've talked about education. But once we get kind of the past, like, okay, no, this is safe to eat, then what's the next step, if that makes sense?
Well, I think the biggest part is utilizing local growers with quality-tested products that people can trust. You have the names of the people you see in your community. You have the dependability of the people that you work with and you walk amongst every day.
Yeah.
Going to big corporations and stuff, we've seen it in certain test results where they're falsely, you know, stating the amount and the potency of their products. Mm-hmm. So, go right ahead.
I'm not going to call off any names, but there is a company out there that is very large in the CBD industry,
mm-hmm.
and I implore everybody to cross-reference what you're getting
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it costs about $50 to do a potency test on things up at the spot in Kalamazoo, mm-hmm. and take your products up there, mm-hmm. and you know it can be costly, but if you really want to know what you have mm-hmm. in this mm-hmm. growing new industry with no regulations, know what you have.
Yeah.
So this larger entity, I went and tested their product, and it seems that they call for 750 in their bottle. It seems like they may hit somewhere between 719 to 720.
Okay.
Those are milligrams, and those are dollars. When you talk about bottles, millions of bottles sold.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
are lots of dollars. So in our game. Behind the scenes back in the day when we were starting to sell wax, it's a little different.
That's mine. Sorry.
it's a little different than just selling the flour. So you sell your flour at a gram or eight.
Yeah.
You know, you're over just not a big deal for those points. But when you're selling wax, that 0.3, that 0.4 mm-hmm. starts adding up if you sell large amounts of it.
Yeah.
And you before you know it, you've lost $80, you know, after, you know,
yeah,
an ounce or a pound
absolutely.
Or something.
Absolutely.
So, but you can also gain in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you go the other way and now you're doing better.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and with that knowledge, I think these companies know that. And, you know, like I said, if you must hit your mark. BC Hemco is very, very diligent
mm-hmm.
on hitting. If we our package says 50 milligrams,
it's going to be 50 milligrams.
Yeah.
I know this is different than CBD, but do people fudge THC numbers?
Of course, that's a bigger. That's yeah. Of course they do.
Yeah.
Even with the regulations, where it's at, it's not so regulated that if I have a garden of, say, you know. 30 plants or whatever, if I just take 1 gram of that and have that tested out of that entire crop, yeah. I'm not being that accurate with my testing.
Mm-hmm.
So where your placement of your buds are, if you take, you're obviously going to take your best bud at the top and test it, and then all your other lower stuffs aren't going to meet those marks.
But you can label it. It's like, oh, it came from this same thing, so I'm just going to label all
everybody's
of this.
The same,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
what
yeah.
we need is kind of a... maybe a testing series of those different layers of the cannabis plant. Yeah, so the quality control, maybe a little more testing on your masses. If you have this much, you need to do a test in the middle, a test on the top, mm-hmm. test on the bottom.
Yeah.
Get your average. There you go.
What's the highest you've seen in THC count?
Well...
That's not dab.
30, I think they're at 30 something.
I think they have a strain that's about 32-33%.
And that's about the max. And CBD, we're driving to get that high in CBD as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We're in the 20s right now.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
That's Stony Maroney shit there.
Stony Maroney.
I've learned so many different slangs here. Yeah, I love it.
Rickinism.
That's a Rickinism.
Rickinism. I like it. We'll have to make a book of Rickinisms right there. Yeah.
By the way, if you don't have Rick on Facebook, get it. And if he accepts you, good for you because he posts some funny ass
shit. Oh, it's the best.
There.
It's always the best, man.
Oh, shit.
Now, looking at regulating, and you brought up something really good there, Luke, that I thought was interesting. Both of you guys can hop in on this, is local keeping it local, working with
farm to table,
yep. which is becoming very big right now. Whether it's like, oh yeah, this burger came from beef right down the road. Right. This corn came from this farmer over here. Now we can look at the products that we're putting in, but now regulating those. How do you do that on a restaurant level? How do you regulate that? Because if you got a lot of product moving through these, a lot of, I'm trying to think of a product, but how do you regulate that?
And just as in preparing for the volume?
Yeah, for the volume, and then also the product going out, because that seems like it'd be hard for every piece of, brownie. Every brownie that goes out the door at this at a chocolate shop, you know what I mean?
The thing is just like in food service, you have to prepare for that. You want to individually prepare your dosage and have it prepared, you know, ready to go. And that way, you're not just sprinkling in the food. You're not just guessing. You have an accuracy. You're going to lose some.
You're not doing a pinch.
Right.
I hate that pinch. Oh, a pinch. Yes. Oh, that guy.
That guy.
Right over top.
But yeah, so properly having it prepared, stored, and dosed, and so that they can move with it on the fly, and then that's gonna have your quality control. That's gonna have your economics in line. You know, and it's just a matter of having it ready to go and handled correctly. Yeah. You can't just have that CBD sitting on the shelf in a 150 degree kitchen over time. You're going to neutralize it. Now you're going to lose customers because you got no effect.
You got it. Would the FDA regulate that like they do?
Not currently. They don't have any of that attached to it. Any kind of dog treats, candies, anything with CBD in it, bath bombs, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can straight from your home to the public as of now until they touch that.
Okay.
And some of these companies, what they're doing is they're spraying, like their gummies, they're spraying them with a liquid. And I've seen some stories that a TV show or a TV station in Florida did. They took like 20 different CBD companies and they took their products and they sent them to a lab like Rick was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes the gummy might be 7, the next one might be 20.
Oh, cripes.
You know? And if you have that problem in other places, like in Colorado, they had that problem with THC.
Yeah.
Well, you know, somebody thinks they're taking a 10 milligram gummy and they get a 25 and it's their first time.
Yeah.
That can be pretty severe. It's not fun.
Oh, absolutely.
You take too much THC, it's not fun.
No. Be violently high. Yeah, that's great. So as of this point, the regulation is kind of the overall quality that is going to be put into the product and the regulation of what is being put out is kind of murky water right now.
Well, if they would just jump on her federally, we wouldn't have that problem.
That's
they could
true. Yeah, there you go.
And you guys, go ahead. In your opinion, how far out are we? To where I can go to a restaurant and get a CBD meal.
Pushing.
We're pushing. I'm talking with a few different people. I got some investors that are knocking on doors.
End of the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We have the hemp festival that we're trying to pull down. You know, when the I'm looking at introducing in-home catering and private parties, so that way we can at least get it out there into the community.
There's a business right there,
right?
Man.
And that's the jump in. Again, everybody that knows me knows I like to party and I like to cook. So if I'm coming to the house, they know it's going to be a great time.
Yes. Is there
absolutely.
Is there a difference? Now, is hemp cooking? You use hemp for cooking? Is there applications for
of
it? Okay, so like
just
if you
like the
okay, so there is applications because I said for me the little knowledge that I do have in growing and learning and educating through this podcast. Obviously, we all know the friend that made the pot brownies in high school. You all know the friend that made the cookies and everything like that. But there are different applications, whether it's CBD, whether it's hemp, whether it's actual. Yeah. Marijuana.
And how you do it, yeah. So again, like I think we talked about the old brownies of yesteryear, it was just the ground up plant matter.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten a lot more isolated with like what Luke does in extracting things and getting terpene specifics. And that's tons of the flavor.
Yeah.
So you get those pulled out of there, then add a little bit more of that shatter, that THC content, juice it up there, and then add it to your food. Now you're tasting the essence of that plant.
Yeah.
So it's totally different than eating that greenery tone, you know. So, but yeah, Luke knows more.
Here is the thing with that is when it comes to the public, I'd like to be able to teach the restaurants to utilize the flower itself so that you can use different terpenes and different notes of the aromatherapy to enhance the dish. However, we are already fighting with public scrutiny. It's the biggest opposer to bringing it to the plates, right? So we have to find a way to hide it and mask it so that you get this plate brought to you where you're not offensive because it's got giant weed plants sticking out of it.
Yes.
And not the person eating it might not be offended, but the person next to them might.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a question I was going to have.
Yeah,
I mean,
so it's
you got to think aroma, you know?
Exactly. And as it moves forward, then we can teach them how to use those flowers and pair specific lemon notes with fish and different things like that. Yeah. Or like a sour diesel with the mashed potatoes that go with the steak, you know, stuff like that. The end result, you want a steak that's infused with sour diesel terpenes and CBD. God. And then you want some master kush in your cappuccino or some lemon haze in your limoncello.
I think that's so interesting to me because when you guys are, you brought up the flower and think about gin. I mean, gin is flowers.
Yep.
Now you could do the same thing, and you're actually getting the flavors instead of just that I guess weed flavor. I don't know what you would say.
Which is going to taste a lot better than gin.
They have some beers now available that are actually they don't have THC or CBD in them, but they do have terpenes.
It's the flavor.
And it tastes like a bud.
Yeah,
it really does. It tastes like the bud smells.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
They taste really good, but.
And that is the end result. But again, to initially introduce it to the community in an unoffensive way, we have to hide it in the dish so that they're not turned off.
And that's because what you got to think about is if this is at, and again, to avoid getting anybody mad, if you're at a restaurant and it's split where they have a menu items and maybe somebody, some person next to me hears me order this dish that has weed in it, and now they're mad because I'm eating it next to them while they're having their regular meal. That's what we need to kind of we need to correct in that sense. That demonization is what I always say of what it is.
Right, because people don't think twice when the guy's sitting there having a beer.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is an excellent point.
Especially at dinner, any restaurant, they all sell alcohol.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. And so now we're just taking that next step with something that is legal in Michigan and finding a way
Not to mention that person sitting next to you eating that plate could be doing it for medical reasons.
Yeah.
Where a dude sitting there drinking a beer is just getting drunk.
It's just having a good time.
Their education is really important. The more people learn about it and do research and hear about it, like what we're doing today, you know, it's going to become more and more accepted.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, and it's still so fresh, you know. I mean, this was November of last year that we finally made it legal across the board, just in this state alone. But I'm excited to see that first menu item and see what restaurant's going to jump on and have that on there. That is that's fascinating to me.
I got one we were just messing around, the wife and I, and we made a shrimp scampi. And we didn't, you know, we didn't dose and we didn't, like, check out what we were doing. We just did it. And so I don't know what the dose was, but by the time we got it done with that shrimp scampi, boy, it laid out. I mean, that was some damn good shrimp scampi. And you didn't taste the weed in it. It was just garlic butter of goodness. And then suddenly... laid out. you're watching something and you're just like, you're watching TV and we just fade it out.
Fantastic.
Right into a beautiful sleep.
I love it. Actually, we'll get to that. We'll wrap it up with maybe our favorite dishes or a dish you'd want to make. Anything else you guys have for people you want to share with them? Like I said, we talked about the festival and you guys will be involved probably with the festival there in Eau Claire and everything. But before we go to our favorite dishes, just maybe final thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, just again, the biggest problem with bringing it to the plates is the public scrutiny. You know, we've been falsely conditioned into a train of thought over centuries from this politically charged media. You know, it started with Anslinger and them boys. And I have some notes here on Anslinger. Let me get into this real quick.
Like, see, he brought notes. He was prepared for this.
For real.
You
got to flow naturally. You can't just sit here and read a skit, you know? But yeah, did you know that Anslinger, he claimed it to be, you know, he claimed it to cause people to commit violent crimes and act rationally and over sexually, right? Well, Anslinger was actually active in the process until 1930s, prior to the end of the alcohol prohibition. He claimed, quote, cannabis was not the problem, does not harm people, and there is probably no more absurd falsity, I can't remember how to say that, pardon me, than the idea that it makes people violent. So he's telling the people that it's just simply the idea. Yeah. You've been lied to.
Yeah.
And then after the alcohol prohibition, he had nothing to do. He flipped over to cannabis, correct? So then he grabs 30 doctors, medical people, drug reps, and he says, hey, I need you to do this study on cannabis. And I have a quote here from one of the statements. He says that one of the guys says, the proposal was an absolute rot. It is not necessary. I have never known its misuse. He went with the one person that was against cannabis.
Yeah.
And then it just uproared from there.
Oh, jeez.
You know? And that's where it started. You know?
And now we're trying to turn back the clock on that and get
open
that all
up,
corrected.
You know?
Well, Michigan's making the right steps, and now that and all the stuff that we've learned, whether it's with hemp, BC Hemp Co., or Rick, you're on the medical, on the caregiver side, you know, we're and now pretty soon in foods.
Yep.
In
that's
our,
the
in
next
our
biggest thing. It's all over the West Coast. It's moving over here. Yeah. It's just a matter of time. Yeah. And
you almost got to give it to that guy who gave weed a bad name, though. He did a hell of a job.
He did a hell of a job.
You know, for years.
Yeah.
Years.
But that's another thing, too, is it's so awful. All-encompassing, that all these other little industries, whether it's a sticker company, whether it's a 3D printing company. Right now I have a veteran that's, well, it's actually my ex-wife's husband that's helping me print BC Hemco's tops for our honey jars.
Yeah.
And he does 3D printing. So it's just so all-encompassing. So many people that don't even have to touch the plant or the industry itself will be a part of it. No different than the auto industry was to the little company that puts wires together, or the company that puts plastic siding on the interior.
Yep.
All of that, that's how we're going to roll forward, and it's going to be bigger than the auto boom.
Oh, yeah.
Way bigger.
Oh, I guarantee it. I couldn't agree more on that. So, well, you said
one more to throw in here. Yeah. I was just going to talk about the word marijuana comes with age. Everybody's like, how did this come about? I am going to read this so I can move through it a little quicker, but the name that we have to describe our marijuana program today, right, it was when the media began to play on the fears of the public that they had about the new Mexican immigrants that come over. And then they, by falsely spreading claims about the native behaviors, including marijuana, the use of marijuana, the rest of the nation, they didn't even know that marijuana was a plant that was already in their medicine cabinets and used in just about every tincture that they had in medicine.
Yeah.
So because they correlated it to the Mexican immigrants and that negative impact, they used the word marijuana with the H in the public. They just didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's down
play
to that politically charged media.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And you got to take what they say, line it out on paper, and try to dissect your own truth from it.
Well, yep. And I always said, too, when I found out these facts, I believe it was the FBI or the CIA that started that. But the two words themselves, listen to cannabis. That sounds nice.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana. Sounds a little eerie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
A little mystical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just got that on it, just like the word fuck.
Yeah.
It's a strong word. It can bring forth lots of things and lots of emotion, and it can be used in different contexts. So, they use dialogue there to fuck us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, luckily, it's guys like you, you three, and Megan, of course, that have been champions for it as we move forward, so I appreciate the work you guys have done, and hopefully everything works out, and the little guy.
Yeah.
Wheels are moving forward. They're just moving slow.
That's right. Of course, anything that involves the government is going to move slow. Yeah. And now we're bugged. And they bugged us after the first one. That's right. All right, well, let's wrap it up with something fun here. What we'll do, you already had your shrimp scampi, but maybe like what's the best infused food you've ever had or made or want to try? Do you have something that you ate once and you're like, oh yeah?
I had a party one time and I made some Mississippi chicken in a crock pot. It's real simple, just like ranch dressing, gravy, pepperoncinis, and chicken. And everybody just would not shut up about it. Like, people still talk about it. Like, you remember that chicken you made at that party? So I think that's my favorite one. Everybody just loved it.
Yeah.
It was great.
And that was infused.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's fantastic. Nice. That sounds delicious. How about you?
I'm a big fan of sauces and creams. So when I think of my favorite dish, I'd probably jump right into a white cheddar macaroni and cheese with lobster and a little toasted breadcrumbs over the top, some of that nature.
Son of a bitch.
You know what's the best part about this whole thing? Oh boy, can't eat until like 1 o'clock.
I know. I got a blood draw today, so I haven't had any caffeine, no food. I'm dying over here.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Yeah, let's keep going with this.
Oh, geez. We'll get that.
I'm trying to get this away from you.
One thing that I wanted to add too is that CBD isn't psychoactive. It's not something that's going to get you high.
Mm-hmm.
If you see it on a menu at a restaurant, you know, don't be offended. Educate yourself.
Yep, absolutely.
It's very medicinal. It's not like these people are going to take a dose of CBD and be swerving all over the road and acting crazy and all stoned. CBD does not do that.
And that's, you know, we've had a lot of discussions here, and we'll probably have to continue to have that because everyone thinks it's all the same. You're going to get high off everything, which is not the case. So.
Right.
Yeah, one more thing. I was listening to you guys this morning. Hardest work. You were talking about shearing sheep.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
All right. 150 sheep in the morning. And then do about 5 acres of hay in the afternoon.
Oh, that sounds like a typical Saturday for
about
me. Must
8, 9 years old. And I did it for free because that's what Dad was doing.
Yeah,
and
that's man.
What my
that's
grandpa
what you had to
was
do?
Doing. And yeah, that's what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It wasn't. Oh, it's a foot. No, that's work. Get out there and work. It sucked.
You're tired.
Yeah, it was the absolute worst. Yeah, yeah. I wish I was high to do that. It probably would have been better.
Yeah, then I got into roofing. So yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I love my
Good
job.
God, man.
Oh, me too. Right. I used to roof.
Oh, God. There's no need for it. There's none. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. This is always fun. And again, everyone, like we said
in
here.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Yeah, of course. Educate yourself. This podcast is just one outlet for you to check out, but make your own opinions. We're not here to sway you either way. We just want to educate, and we want you to educate yourselves. Read. Talk to people like the gentleman we have in here today. If you know someone, just educate yourself and make up your own conclusion. Don't let someone else do that for you. So, all right. Until next time, this is the podcast. What?
I think I just had a brilliant idea.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Am I high right now? Recently, I just got a smoker, so I've been smoking everything I've eaten for the past week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put a whole new meaning to smoked meat.
Well,
can you do that?
Grab yourself some dry sticks, throw them down in the base, just like you would your regular wood chips, and incorporate it in there. You will infuse the flavor from the terpenes from the plant.
No kidding. So works.
Yeah. There you go, buddy.
I actually started my grill the other day with some of my harvest.
There you go.
Nice.
Chef Hunter, everyone look out.
I'll bring you some sticks in.
You know, I thought it was good, but I couldn't remember.
We'll see you guys next time.
The following podcast has been produced by WIRX Radio for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast do not constitute medical, legal, or professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this company, our promotional sponsors, or advertisers.